Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. And when they say bodies here, it means all things about you, your body, your soul, everything about you. Your you-ness. That's the best way to define soul, by the way. Body is your physical expression. The soul is your you-ness, and the spirit is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Romans 12. That you present. Now, the word present there, it's peristemi. It means to yield without condition. It means to give it up and leave it up. Leave it without any act, without any attempt to take your life back. You present your bodies. That's how you present it, as a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind is the place. It's where the action is. It's the only place that life exists. It's the only place that anything is taking place. There's no more external things. From God's standpoint, nothing external matters, except as it presents an opportunity for the renewing of your mind. The flesh isn't to be tested anymore. You're not going to learn anything. You're presenting yourself as a living sacrifice. Why? And be not conformed to the world. We're on a journey. It's the journey that every migration in history has been typified of. It's the journey that all novels and all mysteries discuss. It's the treasure hunt of the universe. It's a journey that is beyond our ability to understand. And that's the only thing we're doing, is we're going in this mystery from point A to point B. The mystery is that the results are guaranteed, that we're already at point B, even though it doesn't look like we are to the flesh. We're already at the end of the journey because of one thing, that we've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or His dearly beloved Son. Therefore, we are empowered, and that's why this Feast of Hanukkah is so important. We are empowered for that journey. We're not to be... Do you understand? There is nothing on that journey that has any merit. Nothing. We're going from here to the mercy seat. We're going through this. No matter where we are in the universe, no matter what time we live, we are in this inexorable journey from the world to the mercy seat. And any time you get caught along the way in some thing, then you stop the journey. Can you hear that? Go to Colossians 1. Verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, what's Paul's desire? Only one thing, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, Do you understand? There can be no suffering that is meaningful unto God if it's suffering with resentment. The only suffering that happens that's meaningful in the abiding is that if you can suffer with joy. It matters not if you treat the brethren with a smile. What matters is if you treat your enemies with a smile. Can you hear that? Why? It's the evidence that God uses to show us that we're on the journey. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath? Can everybody say hath? Past tense. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been delivered from the evil one. We have been delivered from all of that walk of sensory perception. We have been delivered from judgments. We have been delivered from all of that. But our mind, because the first we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, so the things that happen cause us to see whether our mind has been renewed or not. That's the only thing that's happening. We don't have any causes. If you have a cause, you've missed the mystery. We don't have anything going on except the cross. Now, let's go to Luke 16. Okay, Luke 17, verse 20. I want you to read this as if your life depended on it. Because it does. And Jesus, well, verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It doesn't come by seeing or thinking that you're supposed to be this way or that way. It doesn't come by observation externally, and it doesn't come by observation internally. Do you understand clearly? You understand? You're not going to make any progress. You're not going to get any better. If you want to get better, this isn't the place for you. Bill Gothard. If you want to get better, go to Tilton. This isn't the place for you if you've got a cause or if you want to get better. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying any of those things. I'm just saying if you want to get better or if you've got a cause, this isn't the place for you. It's not very mysterious. This is a place for being one thing and one thing only, that we would be transfigured by the renewing of our minds. If that doesn't fit into your theology or your philosophy, there's no hard feelings. This isn't where you're going to get better. This isn't where it's going to happen. This is where you're going to get dead. Is that clear?
Is get dead grammatically correct? Sorry.
May not be grammatically correct, but it's spiritually correct.
I know just what you mean.
Mm-hmm. All right. The scriptures, all from Genesis to Revelation, point to this mysterious journey. Look at myth. Read the myths of all cultures. The real powerful myth, the ones that have lasted, are the myth of a journey. Look at the rites of passage in all cultures. The rites of passage have to do with this, how we see life on this journey. But we're on a journey. If I didn't think I was on a journey, if I didn't know I was on a journey, then I would kill myself. Because the pain isn't worth it, and the fruit of my labor isn't worth it. I mean, when I look at 50 or 60 people plus 20 or 30 kids as the fruit of 20 years of labor, most of them as fucked up as now as they were when they got here,
or worse.
Some a lot worse.
What evidence is there that I have accomplished anything in my life? When I see that in any one of you, after all of these years, in 1 second, you can be on a trip as though you've never heard. I say, what the fuck have I been doing? I say it though. Huh? I shouldn't say that?
What's the point?
This is sad.
These people don't appreciate it.
Now, the key to understanding the journey is locked in the phrase, be not conformed to this world. The word world there, and we've studied it 100 times, but I think it's important that you hear it again. It's the Greek word aion, A-I-O-N. And it means all thoughts, all customs, all value systems, all political systems, all religious or secular or moral or immoral, good or evil, by current standards, which are current at any time or in any place in the world system. There's no English word that means that. The closest, the only word that I know of in another language that means what aeon means in Greek is the German word Zeitgeist. And it means the spirit of the age. The gospel cuts across all times, all ages, and all places. Totally cuts it across. And it convinces us of one thing, and this is the faith that we walk in. We walk in a mysterious faith that says that we were chosen in Him from before the foundation of the world. The Feast of Hanukkah is what causes us to know this. The eternal fact is that you are right now, by one offering, He has perfected forever you who are sanctified. That means that right now you are perfect, you are complete, you are holy, you are forgiven, you are accepted, you are one with God, you are now seated on the mercy seat, all things exist for your purpose, you own all things under the face of heaven and above. All power in heaven and earth has been given over to you. All your enemies have been defeated. For as He is in this world, so are we. That's the truth. Now, anything else that your mind says is a lie, because it denies that Jesus is the Christ. If you say that Jesus is the Christ, then what I've just said to you is true. But if you deny that Jesus is the Christ, that, i.e. that something is left to do, something is left undone, this needs to happen before that can take place, then you have denied Jesus is the Christ, and you've paid attention to the Antichrist. It's not very complicated, and he's a liar. Because the Antichrist was born a liar, he's the father, he's from his father the devil, who is the beginning of lies. The father of the lies says something is needed. The Antichrist said something is needed. Something needs to change. All of these things that I've just said aren't true. Either I'm not holy or somebody else isn't holy. Either I'm not forgiven or somebody else isn't forgiven. Either I'm not perfect or somebody else isn't perfect. These are the lies. The liar. Either I'm not one with God or somebody else isn't one with God. Either I'm not seated in the mercy seat or somebody else isn't seated in the mercy seat. Either all things, I mean, do you understand? There's only one lie. There's only one truth. Now this does you absolutely no good unless you apprehend it. If you apprehend it, then you can be at rest in all things. You can joy in tribulation. You can glory when you're suffering. You can see with a beyond seeing. The moment you don't apprehend it, you're back in the universe. You're back in the world. Okay, when you were in the world in Egypt here, you didn't care about any of this shit. When you're down in here in the world, you're just trying to get to the best there is. All your energies were to get to whatever you thought was the best you could get. You had dreams. You had ambition. You had purpose. You had many options. Does that sound familiar? Then, things didn't go exactly right, and you saw it was a survival of the fittest. And then you realize something else. You realize, oh shit, I'm not the fittest. Either that or you said, oh, I'm a victim. It's much more fun to say you were a victim than to say you weren't the fittest. You understand that? Antichrist is always a victim. Okay, but then the plagues began. You fought. What were your the tools of your battle? Manipulation, compulsion, oppression, anger, greed. What did they result in? Failure and weakness. You were driven to Christ, but you did not apprehend the fullness of him, and you mixed the old way with him. Every time you mix something with Christ, you didn't know it then, but you were saying that Jesus was not the Christ, because you had to add something. You mixed the old way of thinking with him. But praise God, all of you have gotten rid of that. Nobody would ever do that anymore, right?
Some of them talk about the time they put the new wine and the old wine skins.
Mm-hmm. Now, some see themselves still. See themselves still here as poor individual, still in the house of bondage, hoping God will fix their lives. They put the name of God on themselves in Egypt. And they're praying that God will fix either their life or the life of the others in Egypt. I always had this great image of when the plagues were, when the plague of hail or the darkness or the frogs or the lice, I loved the image of the four spiritual, people are handing out the four spiritual laws while the 97-pound hailstones are coming down, and as these 97-pound hailstones are hitting the world and destroying everything, these guys are running around here saying, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. He's got a wonderful plan for your life. Come to Jesus and you'll be happy. Crunch. Come to Jesus and you'll get rich. Crunch. Imagine how big a 97-pound hailstone is.
Dropping from the sky.
Dropping from the sky.
It's my size.
It's the size. It's a 97.
Oh, can you imagine raining
Barbaras? It's raining.
You're walking along and a Barbara hits you on the head.
It's raining ice cold Barbaras.
Dent your car. That's a redundancy.
What? That's
cold Barbaras.
Come here.
Take your
All right. Can you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that God didn't call us to fix the world? I mean, you understand that? He didn't even call us to fix you or me.
I just got this Gothard thing. One of their deals is that the founding fathers of America were these great Christian men who founded it with these great Christian ideals, and somehow we just got straight from the founding fathers.
Oh, yeah, like, you're right.
Did you ever read, did they ever read Thomas Jefferson?
Or? Yeah.
Or Ben Franklin?
Yeah.
God.
Anyway. You're driven to Christ, but you don't apprehend the fullness of who He is. Doesn't mean you're not saved. Doesn't mean that you know. It just means that you don't apprehend the fullness. Now I want you to apprehend the fullness 24 hours a day. I want you to always believe that you are perfect, to know you are holy, to know you are forgiven, to know you are accepted. And to know that anything that you, your mind, or anyone else tells you that isn't true, that they are the Antichrist. The reason you're perfect is because you've said, Father, I present myself to you. And that's all. When God looks, He only sees Christ. And when God looks at Christ, He only sees you. And you got to see that. Now, some see themselves, you know, over here trying to still get to the land of Goshen in God's name on it. Some see themselves over here with a plan for Egypt. Others have gotten under the Passover blood, but are still cowering in fear, waiting with their loins girded to depart from Egypt. Others have left the house of bondage. They're on their way to the Red Sea, but they still see Pharaoh and his armies chasing them. Dun, 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 dun. Others see them, they see themselves through in the wilderness, but now they're at the waters of Marah. Everything is bitter. State of bitterness and confusion. Others are still at the waters of Marah after a cross was thrown in. Okay, things got a little sweet, so now the waters are sweet there. Others see themselves at Mount Sinai, waiting for the law and the tabernacle. For example, wanting to know what to do. Others see themselves after the law, and they're trying to get it right. Nobody here would do that, would they?
What's the right answer to that?
Others are complaining in the wilderness, sometimes wishing to go back to the world, to the flesh pots.
Leeks and cucumbers.
Others are resting at Kadesh Barnea, and they believe that's the promised land. Do you know that the Jews spent of the 40 years they were in the wilderness, they spent 39 years here at Kadesh Barnea. They thought they'd reached the promised land. Others see themselves in the land. Others see themselves in New Jerusalem, but outside of the wall. Others see themselves at the altar within the New Jerusalem. But I've met no one and read no books about anyone that said that they saw themselves at the altar of incense. I've read no books and met no one that said they saw themselves at the table of showbread. I've read no books nor met anyone that said that saw themselves at the candlesticks. And I've read no books nor met anyone that saw themselves in the mercy seat. And that's where God wants to take us. Now, you can believe me or not believe me. You can think this is optional. All is Jesus. All is completed. All is only dependent on our apprehension of Him and nothing else. And if you can only see this, then the test of any stimulus, any thought, any plan, any ideas, any teaching, any advice along this path. You see, everything in the universe is trying to get you off this path. No matter where you are on it, everything there is trying to get you off of it. But your testimony at every point has to be the same in order that the thing would be completed, that it's finished. So the mystery is that if you see that it's finished, it is finished. If you confess that it's finished, by faith, it's finished. That's what it means to say, I would that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. The word prosper means to have a completed journey. Now, the feast that we're celebrating next Saturday, next Sunday, a week from tonight, is the feast of it that empowers all of this to happen. But this is the only thing that's happening. Nothing else is going on in the world. You know, the cliche, if it's not 2,000 years old, it's crap. Well, it's much more than that. Please, I beg of you, we're on a journey. We're on this journey together with many other folks, from many other times, from many other places. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Amen? Everybody understand that a little bit?
It's not, you can either not get it right in the world, or you cannot get it right here. And I'd rather far be here, because in the world it takes you a long time to see it. But it seems like here, it's when you talk about repentance, and it just becomes quicker. That's all that's happening.
Yeah. You know, anything along this path, follow the red line, anything along that path, notice here, even in this, that it ends up here. They didn't spiritually make it to the New Jerusalem, because they could not be made perfect without us. Well, there's a great cloud of witnesses around us. I don't think they're waiting in the graves, but that's another story. But this is the path, and nothing on this path can detract you. All along the path, every place you go, there's something to take your eyes off of the mystery. And you'll always have a sincere reason for doing it. Sincerity is the greatest enemy of the path. But when He said, I am the way, that means He's the way from there to there. I am the truth. He's the one that there's no lie in Him. He will testify what we talked about. You're perfect. You were chosen in Him even before the foundation of the world. You're accepted. You're forgiven. And He is the life. He's not going to give you life. He is the life. Can you hear that?
He's not going to give us anything.
Going to give us everything. But He's everything. It's like we own all things. I believe that God has for us that we would know that we would understand the mysteries of the offerings, we would understand the mysteries of the journey, that we'd see and apprehend the mystery of Christ and the offerings that we see and apprehend, the mystery of Christ at the candlestick, at the table of incense, at the table of showbread, and finally that we understand what it means to be under the wings of the cherubim, speaking as from the oracle of God. But any time you get off this, the only way back to the path is say, Father, forgive me. It can't ever have anything to do with anyone else. That's the other half of the mystery. No one else can take you off that path. No one else can take you out of peace. It's big stuff. Don't take it lightly. Anybody have any response?
Outside of what we talked about tonight, life really is a meaningless nightmare, and anybody really should commit suicide. Because everything proves it. Experience proves it. Everything you can see proves it. That it's just a downward spiral into pain and oblivion.
That's what Crystal's painting.
That little kid in there, all he's got ahead of him is a grave.
That reminded me, but it was, I got real excited when you said, you know, we're on a journey. And I don't know, something, it's like my spirit just leaped inside to think, you know, tomorrow morning when I wake up, it's a whole new ballgame.
Beat back on the track.
Well, I mean, now there's really something out there that's exciting. I mean, I've done most of the bullshit I ever care to do, I've already done.
It's the only thing left.
I'm curious about what you said, because I didn't think, Talane's going to, that he's not going to give me anything.
He's going to give you everything.
But it doesn't make sense.
Because you lose your identity. Because you lose. Because you give up yourself. Well, see, again, this is the great part of the mystery. Paul tried to explain it. Listen to what Paul said. The greatest expositor of the universe tried to explain this thing we're talking about. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave... I mean, there's no... God wants you to quit trying to figure out who's going to do it to whom. And just see us as a mystery, as a part of the whole. You don't have to try to figure out whether it's me or him or this or that or
whether it's me or Christ. Or
yeah,
Christ is just, in me.
Yeah, yeah. He wants to see him. He wants you to see Christ as all and in all.
I know. It's just when I try to think of abandon self.
Yeah.
And it just.
Remember what we said about if you love yourself and hate yourself. It's love. It's the same conflict. Love yourself, hate yourself. You can't become his disciple unless you hate yourself. But then you can't continue unless you love yourself. It's the great paradox.
Yeah. That reminds me that I read this article that this professor had worked and studied 25 years on happiness. What is happiness? And he did, I mean, thousands of people and all this incredible research. He concluded that it boiled down to flow. If you're in the flow, he says, people are in the flow when they're challenged and they're doing, you know, when they're doing something that they're no longer thinking of themselves.
Like they've lost consciousness of themselves.
Exactly.
That's what abandonment means.
What he said. He said, that's when people are happy. He says, it's not when you have money. It's not when you have good health. It's not when you have big houses and big cars. It's not when you reach retirement. Blah, 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 blah. He says, people that have been the happiest are usually in one of the biggest struggles of their lives.
Yeah.